That's funny. I was going to tell y'all that the hardest part of my preaching is that walk from there to here, because it's so quiet. I don't know if you know me, but I don't like the quiet. And so I'm going to fill the space with words. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be appropriate. It's just going to fill that space. But y'all fill the space with some applause, so keep that up, okay? Then I won't have to worry about all that. Oh, man. Well, happy Super Bowl Sunday. Good to see y'all here. Either you like my preaching or you hate football, but either way, I'll take it. So I hope we'll have some fun tonight. Last week, how many of y'all were here last week? Just show of hands. And how many of y'all have eaten your illustration by now, my Oreos I gave you? All right, good. How many of y'all would say Oreos are a temptation? My hand's up, both hands up, right? Okay. I'm great as long, I don't eat sugar as long as it's not in the house. If it's in the house, it's gone. How about, are there any other temptations maybe? Any of y'all tempted to maybe listen to the game while I'm preaching? Yeah? Neil's like, he's got it already. He didn't even know I said that. Lisa had to raise his hand for him because he couldn't hear me. How about speeding? Is that a temptation for anybody? We're all friends here. Just show of hands. It's a temptation, okay? All right. Shopping's a temptation, okay? For you or for Tim? Online shopping. It's so easy, right? One click and there you go. All your money's gone and something will be on the porch in 2 days. Yeah, okay. My kids love that my wife does online shopping because one will run to the mailbox and the other will run to the porch and they'll compete to see who got what, you know? So, how about gossip? Any of y'all struggle with that? Is that a temptation for you? I won't ask you to raise your hand, okay? Because then we'll gossip about you, so we don't need to do that. How about, now this is a little heavier. Any of y'all wrestle with maybe fudging on your tax forms? No? You don't want to go through that, right? The consequences are too weighty, right? How about overeating? Is that a temptation? Yes, you see my profile and tell me it's becoming an issue. Well, how about sex? Everybody got quiet. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, y'all. Get ready. If you want to leave, you can, but I hope you stick around. You know, and the reason I want to do this is because I wanted to talk to you about temptation, and so I had already selected the passage in 1 Corinthians 6, so you can turn there if you like, but I was purposely avoiding what was really the main theme of the text, and I thought, this is silly. We're all adults. Let's just talk about what Paul talks about. And so tonight we're going to look at temptations generally, but then how it relates to our sexuality more specifically, okay? Because ultimately sex, as we'll find in the passage, is maybe the greatest temptress that is out there, even more than Oreos or even more than speeding. It is an issue. Now, some of y'all might say, no, not so much for me, at least not anymore, okay? But it is something that Paul wants to deal with. And so we're looking at 1 Corinthians 6, and I'll start in verse 12. And the problem is, especially in our culture, sex has been cheapened drastically, right? It's all we talk about. It's everywhere. In tonight's Super Bowl halftime show, I'm sure there will be sexual overtones, both in what's sung, what's said, what's demonstrated, what's displayed. It's everywhere, right? It used to be a century ago that you wouldn't talk about sex at all, but you would talk about death. It was a very common thing. And now the tables have turned, and nobody wants to talk about death. We want to live until we're 200 if we can. We're going to get every procedure we can so as to extend our lives. But man, sex is fair game. We can talk about it all day long. You can talk about being bisexual and trisexual. Who knows what's coming, right? I mean, it's just part of our culture. And so it even dates back, as a musician, I like to look at songs. And so I was reminded that this has been going on for generations. If you go back to 1991, there was a famous song by a group named Salt and Pepper. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Somebody already told me, don't say this. And here I'm going to say it, okay? But there was a song called Let's Talk About Sex. Again, flamboyant, flagrant, just out there. We're going to talk about it and get it out of our system. But don't just think that that's part of my generation. If you go back a decade, you can hear what Olivia Newton-John sang, Let's Get Physical. Anybody remember that one? It is a goofy video. Don't watch that video. It's just goofy. It's just goofy. I won't bore you with the details. But in 1981, sweet old innocent Sandy sang, Let's Get Physical, okay? If you go back a little bit longer, Donna Summer, remember her? She sang, "Love to Love You, Baby." Remember that? Okay, that's what she was talking about, y'all. If you didn't know that, that's what she was talking about. And then I didn't realize this, but how many of y'all remember the song Afternoon Delight? Yeah, okay. There you go. A little eye-opener for you. 1976, the Starland Band. I don't think they went on to do anything else, but man, that song was rocking the airwaves, right? And then at the same time, in 1969, the Rolling Stones sang Honky Tonk Women. And so we know, okay, especially in music, it's a prevalent theme, okay? And everybody's talking about it. In fact, there was an older couple who they had not enjoyed intimacy for a while. And so the wife mentioned this to their family doctor. And he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a pill. You just let him take this and it'll all be okay. All right?" And she says, "I'd do that, except he's never going to do this. He's not going to agree to take this pill." He's like, "All right, I'll tell you what. Just ground it up in his coffee. He'll never know and it'll all be well." She's like, "Okay, great." So she comes back a few weeks later, talks to the doctor. He says, "Hey, how did that work?" She said, "It was amazing. We were so intimate, more intimate than we'd have been in a number of years." And he said, "Well, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that." She said, "Yeah, but there's one problem. We're not allowed at McDonald's anymore." So beware the coffee at McDonald's, okay? But let's get into it. Before I bore you with all that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, and I'll read verse 12. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So what Paul is dealing with here, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it, he's, in your passage, it should be in quotations. Do you see that, where we begin in verse 12? Okay, this is not what Paul is prescribing. He's not saying all things are lawful for me. Instead, he's quoting the Corinthians, because the Corinthians were under grace now, right? Paul had preached ad nauseum about grace. And so they're like, "Well, look, if that's true, then all things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I please. It's all covered under grace," right? But Paul says, "You may say that, but not all things are helpful. It may be lawful, but it is not helpful. It may be lawful, but I will not be dominated by anything." And I love that he touches on, I think, what are two of the greatest temptations we all face, and that is food and sex. And he quotes them again and says, "Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food." And that's true, right? That's where food goes. That's what we intend for it, to fill us up, to give us energy. But he says that God will destroy both one and the other. So do not, first of all, be dominated by anything. Don't allow the sex or the food or the Oreos or the speeding, don't allow it to overemphasize itself in your life. As we always say, moderation is key, right? You guys ate two Oreos and that's fine. But if you decided, "Hey, that was good, I'm going to go and buy a whole package and eat them tonight," that's not so fine, right? And so that's what Paul is dealing with here. Sex is good, it's great, it's a gift from God, but if it is acted out in an immoral way, it will be your ruin. Food is good, it's great, you need it for living, but if you overdo it, it will be your undoing. So the first thing he says is, do not be dominated by anything. And notice what he says in verse 13. He says that, 13, "The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord, conversely, is for the body." So notice what he's saying. He's like, "Look, you've got this body, and you can use it to eat food, you can use it to have sexual relations, you can do with it whatever you please, but remember that that body is for the Lord. And so you need to use it for the Lord." So often in our independence and our free thinking, we think that we can just do whatever we want. We are like the Corinthians and we say, "All things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want." but not all things are helpful. And we have to remember that this body is for the Lord. He gave it to us. We're to use it and express our individual wills with it. But ultimately, God gave us the bodies that we have. And a flip side of it is also true, that He intended Himself for your body. His purpose for you and I is that He would indwell us, that the Lord would come into our lives, into our bodies as the Holy Spirit, and demonstrate Himself in such a way so that we can express moderation, so that we can express victory over sexual temptation or over food temptation or whatever temptations may rear their ugly heads. And so the Lord is for the body just as much as the body is for the Lord. Look at the second part of this in verse 14. It says, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So this is basically a variation on the theme. He's just unpacking it a little more as he expresses these things. He says, God raised the Lord and will raise us up by that same power. And so he's reminding us that the body matters. You don't just get to do whatever you want and say that I'm following Jesus. You can't just subscribe to the tenets of the faith in your head and not express them in your body. It's so easy sometimes, we just think it's all a mind game and we can just think the right things and we can do whatever we want. This is my body, I can do with it what I please. That's what the sexual revolution was all about. And yet that is not the truth at all. God says, that is mine and I will do with it what I please. And so verse 15, he says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? You are joined together with him. And that's why he says that you have to keep yourself from sexual immorality. Now, I'm trusting none of you have solicited a prostitute lately, okay? Is that a fair assumption? Okay, good. We're all agreed. I'm glad to hear that, all right? But what Paul was dealing with was the cult festivals that would happen in Corinth. He was dealing with what was a practice that was part of the religious ritual of their day. Now, some say that Corinth didn't have that going on in their temples. Others say that's exactly why Paul referred to it in this way, because that was something they were doing. They were taking part in the cult prostitution, all the while saying, I'm with Jesus and I can do both. And if you haven't been with a prostitute, and I'm glad you haven't, you have to admit that this is our issue. Maybe not with a prostitute, but you and I struggle with saying in one vein, yes, I'm with Jesus, I'm going to follow after him, but with the same mouth speaking other things that are not of him at all. Of saying, I'm with Jesus, I'm going to obey him in whatever conditions, wherever he leads, I will go, but only on Sunday. Come Monday, I'm going to do whatever I please. Tuesday, I'm going to make my own agenda. Wednesday, I might give him back. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, hey, that's the weekend. I'll do with this whatever I want. And so maybe you haven't been joined to a prostitute, but you and I, if we're not careful, can be so linked with something else, a temptation in our lives, that it begins to dominate how we think and what we do. And that's the exact opposite of what God would intend, that we would not be dominated by anything except the power of his resurrection. And so he says that with the prostitute, it's as if the two are becoming one flesh. So now Paul is flipping it on their head. He says, okay, you gave me your quotes. You told me what you believe. You said that whatever I want to do, all things are lawful for me. But hey, I'm going to quote a little bit for you too. This is out of a thing called the Bible. You say you believe it. You say you want to live it. Well, let's listen to what it says. It says, the two will become one flesh. You will be so conjoined, whether it be with a prostitute or with your lawfully wedded wife, you are becoming, through sexual relations, one flesh. And those things are not too easily torn apart. In this day and age, we think, oh, you can just have sex with whoever, whenever, wherever. But it's not that way at all. God in His Word long ago promised that when you do that, you are joining body with body, soul with soul, spirit with spirit. Something is happening there. And in the confines of marriage, it's a beautiful thing. And it brings you together in a way that you could not have accomplished in any other way. But outside of those bonds, it will wreck you. It's as if you were to take two trees that have grown together and become gnarled one on the other and then try to separate them. It just doesn't work. You're going to make a mess of things. And the same is true for sexual immorality. That's why we can't have anything to do with it. And so that's what Paul says. He says, don't be joined to something that is beneath me. I remember there was a pastor once who, he was trying to mix things up, right? I guess he was kind of like me. I don't have much content, so I try to give you Oreos and keep your interest other ways, right? So he thought, okay, I'm going to do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just holler out a word, and when I say that word, you guys sing back to me whatever hymn comes to mind, okay? So let's try it, okay? If I were to say the word cross, what would you sing? The Old Rugged Cross. We got a winner, right? So they did. They started singing, on a hill far away. Do y'all like when preachers sing? I've always wondered that. You know, I'm not sure. How about what if they were to say grace? Amazing grace. Man, y'all are good. Y'all must sing in church or something. Yes, they sang amazing grace. How sweet the sound. How about if he said power? Power in the blood. Man, y'all are scoring 100. This is great. How about sex? Oh! If you didn't hear it, he said precious memories. An oldie but a goodie. Yes, that's right. That's right. I thought maybe somebody had heard that joke before. Oh, man. All right, well, let's wrap it up, because what he says in verse 18, he says very clearly, very succinctly, flee from sexual immorality. I think sometimes we fall into the trap of Satan. We fall into temptation because we kind of mess with it. We look at it. We kind of toy with it. We wonder, oh, I can do just this much, right, and be fine. He says, no, run the other way, just like Joseph from Potiphar's wife. Get the heck out of there. If she takes your robe, fine, let her have it. Get out of there. There is no reason you and I should dawdle with temptation. We have to know our limits, and we have to stay as far away from them as possible. You remember the old story where the stagecoach, he was hiring somebody to drive his stagecoach. And the first guy who enlisted for the job, man, he was amazing. He could get right on the edge of the cliff and turn that corner in such a way that he was just barely off, but he was able to drive it like a NASCAR driver. The next guy got even further. He was within an inch of that edge, and he's like, oh man, that's amazing. That's great driving. But he didn't enlist that guy. He didn't hire him. The third guy came along, and he scooted up against that mountainside as close as he could so that he was nowhere near the edge. And that's how you and I need to travel through life. Don't mess with temptation. You, my friend, are a sinner. I am a sinner. We have a penchant for sin. So why would we put ourselves in such a place that we might be pulled away? You are not as strong as you think you are. He is strong, but he is telling you in your flesh, you need to keep your distance. Stay away, Paul says, from sexual immorality. He says, every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Here he says again, you are not your own. Say that with me. You are not your own. Remember that. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. He says sexual temptation, sexual sin, is far greater than any other sin that you can conceive of. Because it happens within the body. This one frame that has been given to you by God Himself. He knit you in the womb in all your intricacies. He knew you before the foundations of the world. You are not your own, so don't co-mingle with sin. In whatever form, whatever fashion, be as distant from it as you can. And if we were honest, we could spend a night talking about the times where we learned the hard way that we cannot mess with sin. It will get the upper hand if you entertain it. And so Paul says, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God Himself has come to dwell among men and even to dwell within men and women who are His. So don't be tempted. Be the temple. Don't settle. Follow the Savior. Because that is what He intends for us. You were bought with a price. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details. We're all believers here, I believe. And so we know that when Jesus gave His life, it was at a tremendous price. Even the fact that He came to earth was a tremendous price. When He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, and He was tempted with things that would entice Him, it was at a great price. When He was ridiculed, mocked, shamed by those around Him, the ones He had made, that was a great price. When Judas betrayed Him, and Peter denied Him, and the disciples fled from Him, it was a great price. But all of those are encapsulated in Scripture. But I think what even comes even closer to your and my experience is to remember the guilt we felt the last time we gave in to temptation. Do you remember that wincing pain? That searing of your conscience where you were reminded, oh my goodness, what have I done? The Holy Spirit dwells within me and I have grieved Him. I have done something that Jesus died to give me freedom from. And I've gone for it. And I fear we are like the Corinthians. So often we think, I'm saved. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I like. And that may not be our typical mode of operation, but there are those times when temptation rears its ugly head and we'll say, you know what? Just once. I'm just going to dive into it just this once. Jesus bought me. He saved me. I'm clean. I'm redeemed. Doesn't matter. I can make up for it later. But you and I know from experience that when we give in to that temptation, it is like what happened with Jesus on the cross, and He was separated from the Father. And that pain, I hope, for you is so great that you don't ever want to go to the edge of that mountain. You want to stay as close as you can to the solid rock who is Jesus. And trust Him that He will keep you from any temptation, whether it be sexual or edible or anything else. He's got to be enough. And so, Gary, I'm going to ask you, if you would, go ahead and hand out those little sheets I asked for you to hand out. This is this is a downer compared to last week. It's hard to top Oreos. But this is just something I've found helpful in my life. It's just a little card. I would invite you to maybe put it on your dash or on your mirror at home. Maybe not put it on your dash. You've got a text, so I don't want you being distracted from that as you drive. But thank you. Somebody got that. Thank you, Harvey. Appreciate that. But this is our anthem, okay? This is our song. We started with looking at song titles, but this instead should be our anthem. And they're on the screen, so we can go ahead and talk about them. The first is to avoid situations that arouse unfitting desire. That's what I've been harping on. Don't even entertain it. You are not as strong as you think you are, so don't entertain it. Satan will upend you in a moment's notice. Don't give him the upper hand. And say no to every tempting thought within 5 seconds. Now, some of y'all might not even be able to think that fast, okay? But as soon as it occurs to you that you're in the midst of temptation, get the heck out of there. Don't even entertain it. Get out of there. Because remember, it's a battle of the mind. And if you begin to think about it and justify it, you're already toast. So go ahead and get the heck out of there within those first 5 seconds. T, turn the mind forcefully towards Christ. Now, something I try to emphasize when I have the occasion to preach is that you and I are not bright enough to think about two things at once. Now, some of you might think that's a detriment, but for me, I'm grateful. Because if I can turn my mind forcefully towards Christ, that temptation begins to fade in the rearview mirror. Okay? So say no in those first 5 seconds, and then concentrate your affections on Jesus Christ. And then H, hold the promise or the pleasure of Christ in your mind until it pushes other thoughts out. Now, I promise this will work. This is how God has wired you. If you're facing sexual temptation, if you're facing Oreos in your cabinet, whatever temptation may arise, hold the promise and pleasure of Christ until it pushes out those other thoughts. And then savor that moment. E, enjoy a superior satisfaction in Christ. Be reminded that, oh yeah, He is far better than that temptation. In our flesh, we can forget, but if you will center your affections on Him and just stay there, bask in the glory of who He is, envision Him on the cross, begin to sing a worship song, begin to quote Scripture, whatever you need to do to turn your affections, turn your eyes upon Jesus, the rest will fade, okay? Finally, move away from idleness and other vulnerable behaviors. If you're busy about the Lord's work, you won't be able to be busy about temptation. It just won't work. You've got to choose. And if you make the choice that I'm going to get out of the house, I'm going to talk to my neighbor, I'm going to serve at the soup kitchen, I'm going to go and do, then He will fuel you up and you won't have time to be enticed by temptation. Okay? So, y'all remember that? I'm going to pray us out and then we'll go home. And if you want to watch the ball game, you can watch the ball game. You want to come to my house, we're having cheese dip with Velveeta, which Lee thinks is nasty, but I think it's delicious. So do what you want, all right? Let's pray. Lord, we know that we are weak and finite. That's the realization we came to when You pierced through the darkness and made us Your children. And so, Lord, I pray that we would guard ourselves in such a way as to honor You, to be reminded that the Holy Spirit dwells within us so that we would not be enticed by temptation around us. Keep us as far away from it as we can be because we want to honor You, Lord. We just have this one body. This is it. And so I pray that as Your people, as Your children, we would not screw this up, that we would not settle for anything less, that we would not forget the promises that are found in Christ. Help us, Lord, to guard our minds and our eyes and our hands and all the body that You have given us to honor You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.